This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is the second part of a three-part conversation featuring the president of Brand Biz, Paul Fredrickson. We're talking about marketing when the market sucks. Paul, we were talking about the elements of marketing, displays, advertising, and all the other marketing items. Do you basically not consider those as expenses?
Well, I mean, again, if you're factoring the budget out of a percentage of sales, you know, it is kind of a sort of an expense item that you're looking at. But what you've got to do, though, is you've got to look at it as a way of building your brand.
I see.
It's an investment. I mean, it's you know, we talk to clients all the time about this, that, you know, you're investing in your business when you fund your marketing plan smartly.
You know, an interesting point, you're talking about really investing in the future. People are still walking on their floor coverings when times are bad.
I mean,
they're still getting worn out, and I suspect we're seeing pent-up demand. When times gradually get better, I suspect that pent-up demand is going to end up in somebody's store spending some kind of money. This is a good way to get your share and maybe a bit more of that.
Well, I think it was, and I'm just trying to remember, I think it may have been Bernie Marcus or Arthur Blank or one of those guys that observed that their business and the funeral business are the two businesses that are virtually recession-proof. That people are still going to die and they're going to need to be buried, and people are still going to need to fix their homes up.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just kind of, I mean, that, and that's the way it is. I mean, people, you know, to your point, are still going to need new floor covering, you know, regardless, and they're going to still need to find a way to do it. And they're still going to need to find a place to get it from. And, you know, and that's why you still need to be there.
Uh-huh. Now, Paul, you've been in this business for a long time. How difficult is it for marketing VP, say, to sell this concept to the board of directors?
It's tough. It's real tough. Because, logically, it really doesn't make much sense. I mean, if you just go strictly by the numbers, it's like, man, it's... you're asking to do what? You want to spend what? You know?
Yeah.
And, man, you know, we've got to, you know, we may be facing some layoffs here. We've got to buy some new equipment. You know, we've got to make some improvements. And it's, you know, I mean, there's a lot more, obviously, to a manufacturing situation or a retailer than just just the marketing part of it.
Now, let me just ask you about expectations. I suspect that most companies that advertise year in, year out have some sort of reasonable idea as to what to expect from each ad dollar that they spend in good times. What can they reasonably expect in tough times? Anything different, more or less?
No, I don't think so. I think that I don't think there's going to be a huge change in that. I think that there are ways that you can probably fine-tune the accountability of what you're doing more, and maybe, you know, when you're pitching your marketing budget, you know, maybe that's something that you should consider doing in order to make more sense out of keeping the level of spending at least where it's at, if not increasing it.
I gotcha. Talk about this whole situation, these times when times are tougher, from the consumer's viewpoint. I mean, many advertisers have cut back. I suspect there's fewer companies pursuing them for their dollars. I guess that makes the odds better. If you're spending now and there's less competition, From the consumer's viewpoint, you're going to get their attention a little bit easier, I suspect.
Well, it's not just getting attention as much as it is retaining, your position in their mindset as far as who are they going to go to buy that floor covering from. Who, you know, what brand, you know, is on my short list? When I think of floor covering, I think of, you know, this particular brand and this one and this one. you know, it's a way of retaining that position. And, you know, you spend a lot of money. You know, the other thing, too, that we didn't mention before is, I mean, you spend a lot of money to get to that spot.
Okay.
You know, the last thing you want to do is start giving it away.
So it's maintaining what you've already established.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
I see.
Why give that up? I mean, you don't. You took you a lot of hard work and a lot of dollars to get to that point. So then,
if
you've got
some
equity there, don't give it up.
Yeah, if you cut back, then that equity is gonna.
You're gonna turn that equity over to somebody else. And I'm telling you, there's going to be somebody else that, you know, is going to be aggressive and is going to take your spot.
And you have less skin in the game at that point.
Right.
Now, we talk about brand building. I suspect the way that you envision brand is perhaps different from the way a lot of us think about it.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, you know, a brand is you know, fundamentally, obviously, the name and the logo and the you know, the package design and so forth of you know, the goods that a company produces. But a brand is far more than that, from the standpoint that a true brand is supported by some form degree of marketing. And usually that, you know, most of us think of that as consumer advertising, you know, what we see on television read, you know, in magazines and that kind of thing. But, you know, there are great brands that are solely trade brands that are marketed strictly to, you know,
trade
trade audience, you know, through trade journals and the internet and so forth.
So it's really all the same thing, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's really supported with marketing.
I see. I can't imagine that approaching your accountant with an idea in difficult times, hey, I'm going to spend the same amount I would have spent otherwise. I bet you have to do a little battle with your accountant from time to time with
yeah.
this, huh?
Yeah, you sure do.
And you, and that's, you know, he's
well,
going...
Well, I say that, you know, we shouldn't generalize like that. I mean, you know, there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of good guys out there who are on the accounting side and they recognize the value of everything that we're discussing this afternoon, this morning. So, no, I wouldn't. But, you will run into that from time to time.
Talk about some of the rules of thumb. And I'm thinking, okay, you've decided, okay, I'm going to continue to spend the money that I would have spent had times been great. I'm sold on this idea. Perhaps a lot of my competitors are cutting back, gives me a little bit of advantage.
Right.
What do you do now? I mean, do you tailor your message to some other, you know, to these times? Do you do exactly what you did before? What do you do now?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you stay true to who you are. I mean, you know, the brand that you've built and that you've positioned in the marketplace, unless there are other reasons than the economic downturn that we're all experiencing, unless there are other reasons to do so, you should stay with who you are. I mean, that's what you've invested in, that's what you've built around. If it's performing for you, then you need to stick with that. That doesn't mean that you don't have, you know, a sales event or that you don't have a special rebate offer, but you do it in such a way that it, you know, it's part of the way your brand personality would execute that.
I gotcha.
And so, you know, that's the thing. You don't want to change that. You don't want to, like, for instance, become, you know, a bargain brand, if you will. All of a sudden, you know, if you were the brand of excellence before.
I see. Stick with your guns.
Stay true to your brand identity, I think, is really important, because again, this isn't going to last, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you can't take that ground back. You can't rebuild, you know, after this. It's going to be very expensive. to get back to that position if you give that up.
Do you think most companies, whether you're retailer or manufacturers, think of their brand in those terms and the brand equity that they've in essence built all these years?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think a lot of them do, and I think a lot of them are very aware of the position that they occupy in the marketplace vis-a-vis their competitors.
Uh-huh.
I think that they have most companies that I've consulted with and so forth have done, you know, their own SWOT analysis of their competition as well as themselves, and they can show you, you know, comparison charts of where they hit, you know, from any number of competitive criteria against their top competitors. And so they know very well, you know, where they are in the marketplace.
I see.
And so, you know, again, the temptation is to you know, I guess hit the panic button and say, you know, this isn't working. You know, we're priced way too high, or you know, we're too our image is too aloof or whatever. You know, we need to do thus and so in order to be more appealing, you know, when people have less money to spend. And that's probably a big mistake.
Uh-huh. Now, you had mentioned earlier, and I think the example you gave was a trade advertiser looking in the trade magazines, and if they see a competitor pull back, go in there and fill up that,
yeah,
you know, fill that gap.
Yeah.
I suspect that everyone, whether you're, you know, in the trade or you're selling, if you're a retailer selling to the consumer, you probably track your competitors pretty closely. I guess probably it's as important, maybe even more important, to
yeah,
track them as closely during these hard times.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you need to be very aware of what your competition is doing. And, you know, it's not uncommon to, you know, for companies to have, you know, their competitors' sales kits and promotion kits and spec sheets and things of that nature probably before their competitors' own distribution network even has them. You know,
uh-huh.
I mean, it's those things happen. And then, you know, you're very aware, if you're an advertiser of any size at all, about what your competition is doing in the same publications that you're in, and you're pulling their ads, and you're keeping track of what they're doing and so forth. Now, unfortunately, all that's just historical information. You know, you obviously don't know what they're planning on doing, you know, next month or 6 months from now, but you know, you can pretty well look at what they have been doing and get a sense for what they probably will be doing in the near future. And if you start seeing fewer insertions, then that's a pretty good indication, you know, that they're pulling their budget back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives you an opportunity to take advantage of that situation if you choose to.
Uh-huh. This is going to conclude the second part of a three-part conversation with Paul Fredrickson, the president of BrandBiz. We're talking about marketing when the market sucks. We're going to air the third and final part of this conversation tomorrow. This is Floradio.